Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we praise you for your word, and we thank you, Lord, that we can come together to meet and to listen to you speak to each one of us. So open our hearts as we come to celebrate Christmas time, to celebrate you, Lord Jesus. And so we pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you will draw us close to you this night. In Jesus' name, amen. It's often at Christmas and towards the new year that we have moments of reflection. Today I was doing lots of preparation in the kitchen, but had the television on in the background, and I kept hearing them going back over programs over the previous, actually, decades for some of the different TV and what we used to watch 10, 20, 30 years ago. And it is time, isn't it, that we often not only look back, but we look forward. And in our two readings today, we have Isaiah looking forward to the first Christmas, which happened about 700 years later than when he spoke those words. And then we have John, who had been a friend and disciple of Jesus, looking back on the life of Jesus some 70 years after the first Christmas. And together, the Old Testament and New Testament give us a clearer picture of who God is. And these particular readings from Isaiah in the Old Testament and John in the New Testament help us to know who Jesus is. If we look at John's Gospel, he talks about the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We can substitute the word Jesus instead of the Word, because the Word, whenever it's mentioned here, is talking about Jesus. He uses the term deliberately, John, when he writes his gospel, because at the time he is writing for the early church, and within the early church now there are a lot of Gentiles, I guess like most of us here tonight. And they did not have a background of the Old Testament scriptures like the Jews did. But the Greeks talked about the Word as the kind of principle of reason that governed the world or the thought in the mind. And the Jews too recognized that term, logos, as the mind of God which made the world and made sense of it. So in these first few verses in John's Gospel, we see the pre-existence of God, of Jesus with God the Father and the Holy Spirit. Jesus was there. He is the creator of the world and everything in it. Which is why the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible, is so significant. Jesus is fully God. And then in verse 14 in John chapter 1, we see that the Word became flesh. Jesus became flesh as a human person, and he comes to earth, fully God and fully human. And he appeared as a baby, and Christmas began. This is what Isaiah in our first reading talked of. The Messiah Jesus would come and bring good news. He would bring peace. He would bring salvation. The first Christmas heralded all these things. Indeed, the angels singing to the shepherds sang peace on earth. And then Jesus, John in his gospel tells us more. He tells us that Jesus is light and life. We sing that, don't we, in the carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, really inspired many of our carols. Light and life to all he brings. This tells us that Jesus is the real, the genuine light, the true light. The true light where no darkness can be. The absence of darkness, because Jesus is the real light. So in Jesus there is no evil, There's no corruption. There's no chaos that we see all around us. Because he is the real McCoy, as it were. Holy, pure, and good. And John tells us here that as the light, he is the giver of life. And can give us the right to be called the children of God. In one sense, all humankind are children of God. Because we owe to God the creation of our lives and the preservation of life. But only some become true children of God who have a father-child relationship with him. And we can only have that father-child relationship because of Jesus and through him. When Jesus came to earth, he opened the way for us to become children of God in a very real way. That was his mission. That's why he came. Sadly, we're told here in this passage again in John's Gospel that when Jesus came and lived among the Jews, many, many rejected him. Even though they had the Old Testament, they had what Isaiah had written and talked about the Messiah, they had the prophet Micah who told them that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. And yet, when Jesus came, they didn't recognize him and rejected him. But John goes on to explain that to all who receive Jesus, he gives the right to be called a child of God. So how do we do that? Well, in our minds, we need to believe these words of Jesus in John's Gospel, that Jesus came to earth fully God and fully human, the Son of God. And in our hearts, we need to trust in everything that he says. And Jesus said, I am the truth. I am the way. No one comes to the Father except through me. His love for you and me is so great that he was willing to die on a cross to rescue us from our punishment for our wrongdoing. Isaiah said Jesus will give us salvation. Jesus, we're often told, was not held on the cross by the nails, but by his love. Love for you and me. He was willing to do that, to take my place and your place so that we can be forgiven, so that we might be washed clean and become holy even as he is holy. He has redeemed us, but we must put our trust in him, in our hearts, allowing him into our lives. And living as he teaches in the scriptures. John says at the end of his gospel, we read part of chapter 1, but at the end of the gospel, John writes that, I'm writing these so that you might believe. Another carol, the carol In the Bleak Midwinter, says, what can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would give a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what I can give him, I can give my heart. Our response is what Jesus is waiting for. I would encourage anyone here tonight, today who has not yet received Jesus into their life to do it this Christmas time. Because as you've probably seen stickers on cars, he is the reason for the season. He is the reason that we have Christmas. It's a time of celebration. And when we receive him, we then can be called his children. We can call God our Father, Daddy. And so for what about those of us who already believe and are trusting in Jesus? How do we respond this Christmas 2022? We have, as we are told, been redeemed. Isaiah tells us then that we should be renewed in our worship. In Isaiah chapter 52, if we look at verse 8, we are told that we should be shouting for joy. Verse 9, we should be bursting into songs of joy together. Yes, we do it in church. What about at home or a gathering with friends? It says, let's sing a joyful noise to the Lord. No excuses for not being musical. Sorry, Catherine. But we are to shout for joy. We are to be like Jesus, bringing good news and rejoicing that our God reigns. He only is in control. And we can look forward to the second coming of Jesus. We often say, come, Lord Jesus, come. But are we ready for when he comes again? When he comes again, all mankind will see Jesus, Son of God, as King of kings and Lord of lords, to judge the earth. But Jesus wants to be part of your life today and every day. Jesus gives us a life that's worth living. Is your life worth living? Because with Jesus it is. He gives us a purpose and a joy and a peace that only he can give. And when we know Jesus, even death simply becomes a prelude to a fuller life with him. Probably my favorite verse is in John's Gospel, and they're words of Jesus. And Jesus says, I have come to give you life, and life in all its fullness. That is what Jesus is saying to each one of you today. He is saying, I love you. I love you so much that I died on a cross for you. I love you so much that I came as a baby in a manger. But I've come to give you life, and life in all its fullness. This Christmas, receive the most precious Christmas gift of all, because Jesus gives you life and light to all who receive him. Amen.